Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Have you ever considered a career in the performing arts, or even just to have fun in the performing arts? Well, just because you're disabled or visually impaired doesn't mean you can't participate.
Theater Breaking Through Barriers is an off-Broadway theater and one of several theaters in the country dedicated to advancing actors and writers with disabilities and changing the image of people with disabilities from dependence to independence. We'll speak with Nicholas Viselli, the artistic director of Theater Breaking Through Barriers, about their work. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Nicholas Viselli.
One of the sort of mindsets in our culture is only the strong survive, survival of the fittest, right? That's what people believe. That's what they feel Darwin's theory of evolution is. And that is, but that's always misquoted. It really is not the strongest who survive. It is those who are most adaptable to change that survive. And people with disabilities are the most adaptable people that I know. Because when you have to, on a daily basis, plan things out and overcome what life is going to throw at you, that makes you stronger. That makes you more adaptable. And it gives you a skill set that a lot of people who sort of take things for granted don't have until they lose it, in which case then they have to learn all over again.
And I guess we've always thought that, you know, people who can adapt and learn new skills and change with their changing situations can wind up being successful in the end. That's what it takes.
As well as some determination. Just because people tell you you can't do something doesn't necessarily mean they're correct.
Support for Eyes on Success is made possible by
Hadley Institute for the Blind and Visually Impaired, offering the 2017 New Venture Business Competition to help blind entrepreneurs turn their ideas into actual startups. More information and submission criteria are at www.hadley.edu/NVC. Let's start by meeting Nicholas and learning how he first got involved in Theater Breaking Through Barriers.
My name is Nicholas Viselli, and I'm the artistic director of Theater Breaking Through Barriers here in New York City.
Now, that was not the original name. What was the original name?
No, TBTB, Theater Breaking Through Barriers, was originally, it was founded in 1979 as Theater by the Blind. And we were Theater by the Blind from 1979 through 2008, when we decided to expand our mission to include artists and performers with all types of different abilities. But we have to be very, very clear. So many of our artists that worked with us for many years still work with us. So many of our blind and low vision artists. We have obviously a very special place in our hearts and a special affinity for the blind and low vision community, because the blind and low vision community and the artists that are involved in the blind and low vision community really brought us to where we are today. So it's very, very important that we say that.
Do you have a disability yourself?
No, I do not have a disability. It's funny because when the company was founded, and we still stay with this, it was founded as an integrated company, mixing blind, low vision, and sighted artists. But I think there's sort of an overarching idea here, which is, as a theater company, we want to really focus on the art and the quality of the art. And by integrating disability with non-disability, it really then allows us to focus more on the art rather than on the disability of the artists who perform it.
And what brought you personally to work with this type of performance group?
I met George Asiotis. He actually wasn't a co-artistic director yet, but he had been working with the company for several years. I think you interviewed George.
We did interview George, and that interview will be featured in next week's episode.
George and I were doing a theater production in Pennsylvania. We were doing a production of Julius Caesar, directed by Richard Harris. And we became very good friends. And he had mentioned at that time that he was involved with a theater company in New York called Theater by the Blind, and that in the spring he was going to be doing a production of Agatha Christie's The Unexpected Guest. So that's sort of how I was introduced to TBTB. And of course, then when I moved to New York, I was really following their shows and seeing everything that they were doing. So both my wife and I started as readers for TBTB and eventually started working more, doing workshops and eventually full productions. And I've been involved with TBTB since 1997, both my wife and I, and we've been there ever since.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is about opportunities in live theater for people with visual impairments and other disabilities.
So maybe you can start by giving us an idea of what Theater Breaking Through Barriers does, who participates, and what all happens there.
Even though we are not what I might consider sort of an activist organization, an organization that is active in disability rights, we are, in a sense, because certainly in our profession, there's a great deal of discrimination for artists and performers with disabilities. Oftentimes, performers with disabilities are hired by productions to sort of be consultants. Sort of, can you teach our non-disabled actors how to play disabled? I can't tell you how many times, even during Theater by the Blind, we would have people call us and say, we have a movie that we're shooting and the lead actor is supposed to be blind and we have a star playing this actor, so can you come in and teach him how to play blind?
So that's an interesting twist. They want to have these blind people come in to tell other people how to play the role that the blind person could actually do themselves if they were given the chance to.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we find time and time again. Oftentimes, you know, I don't have to say how many actors and artists have won awards playing disabled. And then you sort of say to yourself, well, why don't they consider actually hiring an actor with a specific disability to play the role, because they would have a much deeper, first of all, it would be in them. They know it firsthand. They don't have to play it. So there's a great discrepancy there. But even more than that, I don't really have an objection to a non-disabled actor playing disabled as long as they will cast disabled actors in the production as well. We can have disabled actors playing all sorts of roles, and to not get any consideration in that arena is wrong. It is just incorrect.
What's the story behind the name change from Theater by the Blind to Theater Breaking Through Barriers?
Theater by the Blind never really discriminated against any other artists or performers with disabilities. The name and our mission at the time directly suggested that we worked primarily with blind and low vision artists. And so the thought came, well, are we not then discriminating ourselves by just working with blind and low vision artists? And wouldn't it open up the talent pool more? And wouldn't it be a great way to extend what we do as artists to then just open it up to everyone? And that's why Theater by the Blind, TBTB, became Theater Breaking Through Barriers, TBTB. So sort of just an expanded version of what we originally were.
So now that this organization is more inclusive, what range of disabilities are encompassed in this group now?
Well, we have blind and low vision artists. We have deaf and hard of hearing artists. We have artists with mobility disabilities, wheelchair users, congenital amputees. We have artists with developmental disabilities. We have artists with some even mental and cognitive disabilities that we're trying to reach and expand more and more. It was exciting for us because our last production, which we did in June and July, was the first production where we actually cast an actor who is deaf, really completely deaf, where we needed to actually have interpreters during rehearsal for this actor. It was an incredible experience for us, and we're so happy about it because the actor who we cast, John McGinty, his name is, a wonderful actor, to be able to work with his talent and to actually learn so much was a great gift. So the more we stretch ourselves, the more we're able to really reach out and work with all types of artists, the better it is for us, the stronger we become as artists and as a company.
I would imagine most people with disabilities have learned whatever accommodations they need in order to do whatever it is they want to do. That among your population of artists with various disabilities, that they were probably more optimistic in assuming that somebody with a different disability could work things out also, even though like a blind person may not know how a deaf person would do something?
Yes, it's very true. We perceive disability to be an individual characteristic that is solely unique to each person with a disability. And every person's experience with whatever disability they may have is unique unto them. Everybody has their own needs. And those demands change and they vary from person to person. So for us, it becomes a big part of what we do is being able to accommodate everybody as best we can.
And what kind of accommodations are typically made?
There are certainly general accommodations that everybody needs. For example, you know, full access to theater space, both in front of the house and backstage. You know, having open captioning, having Braille, large print, or audio description. Those are sort of general accommodations that we can make to everyone. But everyone has also very specific ways of working. I'll use George again as an example. When we work with George on stage, we've really started learning how to create sort of guides around the stage. We would place pieces of molding on the set so George would be able to walk around and he would be able to feel with his foot where he is on the stage by just having that little half-round molding that's the audience doesn't see. But it's different for everybody. So it's always a unique experience.
So you do have to be pretty creative sometimes because people don't know what kind of issues they might run into, but it's a matter of experimenting and being optimistic that you'll be able to come up with a special solution.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things I really do believe is we're artists. If you are a person that does have a disability, you know, life has all kinds of limitations to it, not only in perceptions of disability, but just life itself. Living in New York City, you may never see a blind person working construction on a high-rise building. You may not see that. But in theater, we create our own world. And so because we create our own world, we can do whatever we want. We can set whatever limits or no limits that we want. And part of the fun for us is really problem solving and figuring out creative ways to make things work, make things happen.
So I think that sometimes just knowing that solutions and mechanisms exist for people doing what they want to do plays a large role in giving them some confidence that they can actually participate in some of these activities. And so I'm wondering, in that regard, can you give some other specific examples of accommodations that can be made for people with disabilities and things you've done so people can get a concrete idea of how these things are really possible?
Certainly. In addition to doing sort of half-round molding, we would create floors or sets that are textured or high contrast. If you are low vision and, you know, you might be able to get a bit of light, you can sort of glimpse contrast. Sets are designed oftentimes with actors in mind. When we are working with deaf or hard of hearing actors, a lot of times we'll do things. For example, in 2013, we had done a production with an actor who is hard of hearing, and he had to do some dancing on stage, and it was to taped music. So we made sure that we had speakers on stage with subwoofers so that the actor would be able to feel the vibrations of the music, so that they would be able to move along with it.
Oh, interesting.
For artists who have mobility disabilities, it's really just a question of being very, very careful about designing the set so that, one, we make sure we have a ramp so that they can get onto the stage. But then it's a question of making sure that the set is designed with enough space. The doors are made wide enough and certainly with the right angles so that if you are in a wheelchair, you're able to navigate it without knocking the set down or bumping into anything.
So you really are very creative about the accommodations you make and very open-minded as to how things can be modified to make these things possible.
It's an absolute must. And it's also, you know, it's exciting because it makes our productions really unique unto ourselves and to what we do. See, the goal is you don't want the audience to know about it. Your job is a storyteller. You want to engross your audience in what you're doing, and you don't want them to think about or be concerned about the actors on stage. I hope they don't fall into our laps. I hope they don't crash into this or that. You don't want to think about that. It takes you out of why you're there in the first place.
Many mainstream theater companies have started providing audio description and or open captioning for at least some of their performances. Does TBTB make other accommodations for the audience as well?
Aside from things like open captioning, audio description, we do things, well, let's specifically talk about blind and low vision audiences at this point. We always make sure that, for example, our programs, in addition to printing our regular programs, we print our programs in Braille. We also print our programs in a large print format. If a show has a lot of visual elements, even if it doesn't have a lot of visual elements, we like to be able to go through the show and create program notes that we would print in Braille and large print so that anything that might be confusing to a blind audience member or a low vision audience member, if they don't see it happening, they at least have notes within the program to describe that. We have often done a device that we use called the talking program, and that's also very exciting, where at the top of the show, at the very beginning of the show, several of the actors will come out, usually in character. It's a script that we write in advance, and the actors will then sort of give a bit of background as to what period of time we're in, where we are set. They will be able to give a detailed description of the set so that, again, if you are blind or low vision, you will at least be able to create a picture in your head as to where we are to sort of set the stage.
If you're interested in how they develop the audio description for live theater, we did an episode about that with our local theater company, and that was number 1215.
So it sounds like if an aspiring artist with a disability comes to you, they're kind of all set. I mean, you've done this before. You're very open-minded, very creative. You know the process. What advice would you have for these people going someplace else where they're not as familiar with some of these issues?
I think first and foremost, it's so important to sort of stress, if you have a dream or a goal to pursue a career as an artist, as an actor, as a writer, as a director, then you have to do it. Full stop. You have to do it. And you should not let a disability stand in your way of that. Now that said, you're walking into a business that is, you are discriminated against. People still don't have the message yet. They're not yet realizing. You go into a room and you're immediately sort of typed based on how you look. Or if you come in a wheelchair, or if you come in with a guide dog and a cane, people immediately type you in that way. And it's very difficult to get people to see you otherwise. And the fact of the matter is, it happens with everybody, disability or not. You walk into a room, you're an attractive woman with blonde hair and blue eyes, you're automatically typed. If you're sort of a dark, swarthy man, you are automatically typed. So it's hard to try to break through those stereotypes. But if you know automatically that's what you're going to face, then you face it. The best advice I could give an artist with a disability is, first of all, the same advice that my parents gave me: you've got to be tough. You've got to be thick-skinned. You have to be willing to accept the rejection for whatever reason, but yet you've got to press on because your passion and your talents as an artist must be recognized and must be satisfied.
What kinds of plays do you typically produce?
We do shows about disability. But more often than not, our artists will say, why do we have to do shows about disability? You know, why can't we just do shows that really don't have anything to do with disability? And I see both points. I think it's important to do shows and plays about disability because it does help to educate audiences. It also sort of allows people the freedom to talk about something that maybe they're a little nervous to talk about in the first place. But at the same time, our artists are artists. They don't want to be known as, oh, that artist that's missing a leg or that artist that's in a wheelchair. They want to be known as artists, you know, first and foremost, and completely agree and completely support that. So for us, it's as a theater company, it's our job to try to do all types of work.
That's a good attitude.
As a professional theater company, we want to be able to set examples, set role models. I hope this doesn't sound too lofty, but it is our goal to change the perception of disability in our world today. We feel that as artists, as theater artists, we wield a very powerful wand that can change people's perceptions without getting on a soapbox and lecturing them and beating people over the head and saying, this is what you should do. We want to be able to do by example.
And that's often the best way to change people's minds.
Apropos of your goal to introduce the rest of the world to the fact that people with disabilities are actually quite able to do things, I think most able-bodied people have never actually met a person with a disability. They may have seen one on the street, but they may never have actually met one. And once they meet one, they can say, oh, this is a normal person. He or she just can't walk, can't see, can't hear, can't whatever, but otherwise is a normal person. And by putting people with disabilities on a stage, you're not restricting the audience to, oh, now I need to have a one-on-one conversation with this person. I'm kind of meeting this person vicariously and understanding that, yeah, these people are quite capable and I'm enjoying the show, and partway through they'll completely forget about the disabilities.
Yes, it's very true.
How does your audience typically react to the disabled actors on stage?
In April of 2015, we did a production of Agatha Christie's The Unexpected Guest. People were buying tickets that never saw our work, had no idea of our mission. They just wanted to see a Christie play. And when they came to see our show, when we did our production, it was, again, cast of nine. Seven of the nine artists were performers with disabilities. And the thing was, it was such a, and I'm sorry if I sound, I'm blowing our horn here, but it was an incredible production. So well put together, wonderfully directed, wonderfully acted. And audiences, when it was over, when they sort of realized that this was a company of artists and performers with disabilities, people were like, wait, where was the disability? I didn't see the disability. Where? You know, there was that one of our actresses, who actually happened to be my wife, was in this production. She is a wheelchair user, and they actually believed that her being in a wheelchair was a character choice, which I love. And it's not that we didn't hide the disabilities, but the play wasn't about it. And so that, to me, is a testament to the work we do.
And if you're interested in being in the audience of live theater in New York City, the Theater Development Fund, which runs a theater accessibility program, offers deeply discounted Broadway and off-Broadway tickets to people with disabilities, and they provide services to help those audience members enjoy the live theater. And we will have a link to them in the show notes. Now for this week's final item, how to contact Theater Breaking Through Barriers and some other resources of interest to people who want to get involved in live theater.
So if people want to find out more about Theater Breaking Through Barriers, where would they go?
Oh my goodness. Certainly you should check out our website. It's www.tbtb.org. You can check us out on Facebook. If you go onto Facebook, just look up Theater Breaking Through Barriers. On Twitter, we are located at TBTB Theater, as well as Instagram, TBTB Theater. And then, of course, certainly just keep checking the papers and the websites, and we'll make sure to let everybody know what we're doing and when we're doing it.
If people have specific questions, is there an email or phone number that they can use?
Absolutely. You'd be best to contact us directly at tbtbinfo, that's all one word, tbtbinfo@gmail.com. You can contact us by calling 212-243-4337.
And if somebody actually wants to attend a show, where is your theater?
We don't own our own theater space. We rent, but we perform at Theater Row primarily, which is located at 410 West 42nd Street. That's between 9th and Dyer Avenues in Midtown Manhattan. So this March, we are going to be doing our short play festival, which we are very excited about, from March the 10th through the 26th at the new Art New York Theater Spaces. And then we will be presenting our spring show, which will open May 27th and run through July 1st at the Harold Klorman Theater on Theater Row.
If somebody is looking for a similar opportunity in another part of the world, do you know of other organizations or maybe an umbrella organization where somebody could go to find an operation like yours?
Well, yes. I mean, the thing that's really wonderful is we've been really working very hard to try to establish a network of theater companies throughout the country and even throughout the world. We attend several theater festivals. There's one theater festival, the International Theater Festival for the Blind and Visually Impaired. We call it the BIT Festival, BIT meaning blind in theater. It is held in Zagreb, Croatia. So we've made some really great connections with blind and low vision theater companies in England, Spain, Italy, Finland, Denmark, of course, Croatia, Serbia, Slovenia, Poland. We have a nice range of theater companies here in the States. We know of a lot of them as well as abroad. But if anyone does have any questions, we will certainly do our best to help find the answers to maybe a theater company that might be in their area that they could approach.
And as usual, we'll have links to all the resources you heard about in the audio in our show notes associated with this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1706. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about acting blind. Pursuing a career in the performing arts as a professional actor comes with a number of challenges, whether one is blind or not. Even for the blind, however, these barriers are not insurmountable. We will speak with George Asiotis about his career and experiences as a blind actor and how he manages to live his dream. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.